I had a message. Your bulletin has a message. Then over the last couple of days, the Lord has really been speaking to my heart and has kind of adjusted that a little bit. So we might get to your notes that are in the bulletin. We might not. And as your pastor, I'm just going to lay my heart out with you this morning in what the Lord has really been speaking to me about Thursday, Friday, yesterday, and this morning. And so before I do that, I just want to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this place. And I ask that you would just guide and direct the words of my mouth over the next few minutes, that I wouldn't add to or take away from, Lord, what I believe you've burned in my heart over the last day or two. But I ask, Lord, that it would find a place in the heart and mind of every believer in this room, those watching online, that consider Bethel their family, their community, that, Lord, you would speak to each and every one of us by the power of your Holy Spirit in an individual way. Lord, you're speaking separately. You're also speaking individually. And so I ask, as I take the next few minutes to share, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct these words. We thank you for that. Amen. So, you know, as your pastor, I am very prone to keep up with the news in our local community, the news in our nation, the news around the world. I think it's tremendously important as believers that we see and know and understand what's going on in the world around us. But I genuinely believe this week I overstepped in the pursuit of that knowledge with the Lord, and he has like deeply corrected my heart on that. And that stems out of the murder of Charlie Kirk. As a pastor, as someone that has friends in prophetic ministry and friends in major leadership roles around the nation, when Charlie Kirk was shot, I had a number of different individuals forward me video of Charlie Kirk being shot. And I saw those videos. I saw all of them from different angles, from different distances. And in hope of his survival, I watched them, some of them repeatedly. As an outdoorsman, as a hunter, I know the effect of a high caliber weapon. I know the impact of a bullet. I know the loss of blood that comes with violence. And as I was doing that on Thursday, the Lord really arrested my heart. Because at that point, we knew Charlie was already gone. And nonetheless, I still, like, in my human nature, had been drawn back to these videos. Like, is there something there that's missed? Is this how they're going to catch the person? You know, my human nature desire for a want of more information. And the Lord really strongly rebuked me on Thursday afternoon. And the Lord said to me, "Why are you watching this?" And I was like, well, Lord, he was a believer. He was a political leader. He was a voice for an entire movement. And in my human nature, I wanted to justify why I was pursuing that. And I'm just sharing my heart with you this morning. I wanted to justify why I was pursuing that. And the Lord really arrested my heart. First with Psalm 101:3, and I'm going to read that to you this morning. Psalm 101:3, it says, "I will not set before my eyes anything worthless. I will not set before my eyes anything worthless." And in Hebrew there, that term worthless basically means good for nothing, unprofitable, wicked, ungodly. So I will set before my eyes, I will not set before my eyes anything that is ungodly, anything that is wicked, anything that is unprofitable, anything that is good for nothing. And then the Lord led me from there to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking about the eye, in verse 22, it says, "The eye is the lamp of the body." So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And in Matthew 6 there, when Jesus talks about not, you know, if your eye is bad, right, that Greek term that he's using there is degenerate, calamitous, right? Like, if you as a believer choose to allow things that are calamitous, to allow things that are worthless to come in through your eyes, you are, I genuinely believe with all my heart, impacting your soul and your spirit. You're impacting your soul and your spirit. And the Lord desires for us to guard our spirit and our soul. The Lord desires for us, especially as Christians, because we understand things in a different way than the world around us. And in understanding things in a different way, our standard is different. I don't hold myself to the standard of the world. I hold myself to the standard that is the living Son of God, Jesus Christ. He's my standard. And when I look at Scripture and I see the Lord continually challenging us as believers to guard our eyes, to guard our mouth, to guard our soul because it's the wellspring of life, to guard these different things, I absolutely believe that in the day and age that we live in and the immediate accessibility that we have to media, to news, to information, I believe, Christians, if we are not careful, it will negatively impact your soul and spirit. Well, Pastor Farrell, does that mean we shouldn't watch the news? That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Be informed. But be informed through the lens of the kingdom of God. Be informed through the lens that is Jesus Christ. And from the time I personally received that information about the murder of that man who's younger than I am, like I can call him a young man. From the time I received the information, I then had a choice, church family. And this, I believe, is for all of us today. From the time you obtain information, you have a choice. How deep down the rabbit hole will you pursue that information? How far are you willing to go? Because the Lord, writing to Isaiah, said to Isaiah, "I have nothing to do with conspiracy theories." That's what the Lord said to Isaiah. "I have nothing to do with conspiracy theories." It's in Scripture, right? And if the Lord, speaking to his prophet for the written word to be created, said, "Don't have anything to do with this," then I believe as a whole, the Lord is challenging us who have the fullness of his word to also not get caught up in all of these things. Because you can get the information, you can develop a stance and a standard, you can come to the place where you can rightly discern truth from lies without going too deep or too far into what the world makes available. And this is tremendously important to me as your pastor. Proverbs 2:11, it says, "Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you." Discretion will watch over you. Do you know what the meaning of discretion is? It's the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. Discretion is the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. I had the ability to use discretion with the information that was given to me, and in my human nature, I justified the choice I made. I justified the perspective that I went down and the rabbit hole that I personally went into. And over the last day or two, the Lord has just been calling me up and calling me back. And I'll tell you, even over the last couple of days, it's been difficult for me to even find anything now on the TV that I was willing to sit and watch. Because I feel like the Lord just is turning the heat up. I feel like the Lord is just like, no, this is okay for others. This isn't okay for you as a son of God. This is okay for the world and society, but I'm calling you to a higher standard. Like the Lord, if we really want revival to break out here in Bethel, it's going to mean that as a whole, in our community, as we know it right now, the standard rises. The standard rises. We want revival. We want the altars filled with people whose lives are being radically touched and changed by the Lord. That means that for those of us who call this place home, for those of us that consider us members here, for those of us that this is the place we think of when we think of the church, for us, the standard has to rise. For us, the water level has to increase to what the Lord is calling us to. Because if it doesn't, then we won't be able to have the impact on the unsaved that we could have. Because if the unsaved come in and they look at those of us that are currently here and they go, well, you're doing the same thing I'm doing. Well, then I'm also a Christian, right? No. They have to come in and look at our community and look at us and go, whoa, you're living so radical. You're living so right. You're living so holy. You're living so pure. You're living so true. I also want that because I see how much it's changed your life. That's what we should want. That's what we should long for in the Lord. That's the pursuit and the passion that God calls us to. Now, does that mean we're sinless? Of course not. We stumble, we trip, we fall, but we pick ourselves back up, and in the mercy and grace of the Lord, we throw ourselves back on Jesus again and go, Lord, forgive me if I've stumbled. Forgive me if I've fallen. But we don't allow open and direct access in our lives to sin. We don't choose sin. And in so many ways, I think at times when it comes to the consumption of media and the consumption of TV and the radio and podcasts, I think as a whole, Christians in the West all too often are choosing to inlet sin. They're choosing to inlet things that the Lord says should not be there. And those things then weigh down our soul and our spirit, those things begin to wear on us so that then when we come up to a situation, we have difficulty speaking truth or confronting that situation because we think in our own lives, well, I've opened the door to this, so I can't really speak to that. I don't have any authority to address that. Well, I've doubted God in this, so I don't really have the ability to speak to that. We have to raise the bar. We have to raise the bar. I absolutely believe the Lord wants to move in this place. I believe the Lord wants to pour his spirit out on Bethel in a tremendously impactful way. And so as your pastor, I'm asking you to raise the standard. Not for anyone else's sake, but for your own personal relationship with the Lord. Raise the standard. Increase that commitment to the Lord. Increase that desire to guard your heart and to guard your mind. If you're struggling with things, ask the Lord, Lord, what of this do you want me to carry? Right? Because God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Right? He says, bring all of our cares to him. And so when we see what's going on in the world around us, when we see what's happening here in Durham, or we see violent crimes committed on the train in Charlotte, or we see the murder of young leaders in our nation, we choose to take some of that on ourselves Or on the same scale, we choose to put it all on Jesus and let him carry it. And he can handle it. He can handle the fullness of fallen humanity. He's gracious and patient. Listen, think about it for just a second with me. After everything that happened in Egypt, right? Israel is held captive in Egypt for hundreds of years. God shows up, drops giant hailstones, you know, sends locusts, sends frogs, turns the water to blood, right? Sends, you know, like all this judgment, even to the loss of the firstborn. The Israelites flee, right? They come out, they get to the Red Sea. God spends all night parting the waters. They go through on dry ground. God then drowns an entire army behind them. They get to the mountain, and the Lord says to Moses, come up here and meet with me. And Moses goes up the mountain, and in Exodus, what does God say to Moses? God's self-description is, I am the Lord, gracious and patient, slow to anger and abounding in love. What? Right? Could you imagine for a minute being Moses, who's hearing God describe himself as gracious, patient, slow to anger, and abounding in love, having just seen everything he's seen? None of that seemed gracious or patient. None of that seemed slow to anger and abounding in love. None of that seemed in Moses' human mind to be what God was saying. But God is just. And he knows how to deal rightly in all situations. We don't. We don't know how to deal rightly. Our human nature gets in the way. The Lord knows justice. He created it. And as believers, we want to see breakthrough in our cities, and we want to see breakthrough in our nation. And on some scale, the space for breakthrough will at times come from things political, but largely it won't come from things political. It will come from the church being like Jesus. That's the world's answer, right? We want to end inner city hunger. We want to see, you know, the appropriate amount of teachers in public schools. We want to see right policing on our streets. All of that can be impacted in the greatest way through the church. Either by Christians going out and being like Christ publicly, or Christians being like Christ privately in their prayer life and calling out to the Lord to move and to come and have his way in our city and in our state and in our nation. And there are times when God does that through governmental leaders. We see it through scripture, that Lord raises up righteous leaders, and at times Lord turns the heart of unrighteous leaders and they change and become right with God. We see both ways. We see both ways. And I've seen that around the world in nations where you thought it was all lost and all gone, and now those nations are turning to the Lord and people are getting saved in large numbers, and it's because of the church in those nations. It's because people were willing to step up and stand out and go, I will not be quiet. I will not be silenced. I will not be pushed just within the four walls of my church sanctuary for the expression I have in the Lord. And it's so important that we're willing to hold these standards. I loved on Thursday of this week, my wife flew to Florida to be with her best friend for a couple of days. And so I've been on dad duty. My mom's been here as a huge blessing to me. She's a tremendous woman of God and has had a massive impact on me being who I am. But on Thursday, after I dropped Sharon off, you know, and she went out, finished out the day, my mom came in town. And Friday, my mom and I decided to go to the park and enjoy a nice walk together around Lake Crabtree. If you've ever been over there, it's gorgeous, the trails. But on our way over, I stopped by this coffee shop. And I ordered my coffee, and I was standing and waiting at the counter for my coffee to be given to me, because if you know me at all, you know I love coffee. Jesus family hunting coffee. and sometimes coffee pulls ahead of hunting, sometimes hunting pulls ahead of coffee. I ordered my coffee and I went around and I was waiting at the counter, and there was a young guy there, and his maybe mid-20s, at the countertop, and I noticed that he was reading his Bible. Sitting there in Morrisville, he was reading his Bible, and I go, hey, what are you reading? And he looks at me and he goes, oh, I'm reading the Bible. Do you know about the Bible? And I go, I do know about the Bible. And understand, we're in a coffee shop, right? Like, life is going on around us. People are collecting their drinks. And he goes, well, how do you know about the Bible? And I said, well, I pastor Bethel Christian Center. And he goes, you're a pastor? And I said, yeah. And the girls behind the counter in this coffee shop, they know Sharon and I are ministers. And so they both start, like, grinning because they've heard all of this before. And he was like, wow, that's awesome. Tell me how you know. And so we took, like, 5 to 7 minutes, and I shared with him my story and how I moved here to Durham to be a part of this church and everything like that. And we finished, and the girl, you know, hands me my coffee, and I was like, thanks. And he goes, hey, before you leave, can I just pray over you? And I was like, sure. And he goes, what specifically can I pray for? And so I mentioned my kids and my wife being out of town. And church family, I assumed in my mind that he was, like, just going to, like, bow his head and pray as I, like, went on and drank my coffee. But instead, he stood up and laid hands on me right there in the middle of the coffee shop and just started praying. Lord, I love that this pastor and I got to meet today. God bless his family. And I was like, oh, cool, we doing it, Jesus. Like, I put my coffee down and I was like, I'll receive my prayer. And for, like, 3 or 4 minutes, just out loud, other people were walking by us, people were looking at us, the girls behind the counter, who were, like, again, they know Sharon and I now at this point, they were, like, you know, kind of, like, giggling and covering their mouths and stuff as this young guy was just going for it with Jesus. And he, like, amen at the end, and I was like, man, thank you so much, and, you know, shook his hand, and I left and got out to the van where my mom and Oliver was waiting. I was like, hey, sorry it's been 15 minutes for me to get a cup of coffee. Who knew I was going in for a cup of Joe, but God was going to bless me, you know? And so, but in all genuineness, that young man's boldness, his willingness to be Christ-like no matter where he was at, didn't just impact me, it impacted every single person looking at him being Christ-like. Thank you. That's right, Pam. That is part of the church. That is the aspect of what helps us grow as the church. It's when we're willing to be like Christ, when we're willing to draw appropriate boundaries and borders for our spirit and our soul because of our love for Jesus. Sharon and I, when the Lord brought Finley into our lives, we established a standard that we've held for 12 years now. We don't watch violent stuff in front of our children ever. Even Oliver at 1 year old, I don't watch shows when I'm, like, you know, playing with him in the house. If it's just he and I on TV, I don't watch that type of stuff because I've watched as the Lord has kept my children's spirits pure and the Lord has kept my children's spirits sensitive. And as a father and a leader in the church, I don't want to be responsible for dulling that spirit. So we don't allow them to read books that have, like, witches and witchcraft, and we don't allow them to watch shows that have wizards or sorcery or any of that. Like, we are very particular, and we're very protective. And when I was younger, that, like, at times would cost me something because I enjoyed action. I'm a dude. I'm a red-blooded American man. I like action. And so I would wait until all of my kids were in bed at night, 9:30, 10 o'clock, get all my kids to bed, and then I'd be like, all right, now I want to watch, you know, something that I enjoy on TV or whatever, and I would come to bed at, like, 11:30 or midnight, and I would get up the next morning and be like, oh, I'm so tired, and my wife would be like, was it worth it? Like, was it worth it? And I've come to the place now where it wasn't worth it, and so I try not to do that anymore in my life. But as a church community, you have to establish the standard with the Lord for you. Right? You can't live according to my standard. I can't live according to your standard. You have personal relationship with Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit living inside you, and he will guide you, and he will direct you into what he's calling you to. Because for you, it may never be standing in a coffee shop boldly praying over a total stranger. That may not be the Lord's call for you. For you, it may be going in and out of, you know, assisted living facilities, or going in and out of hospitals, or going to your neighbors and doing gracious things, or sitting with a coworker when you know they've gone through a loss and loving them the way Jesus would. Right? We have to allow the Lord to establish the standard. But if each and every one of us are allowing the Lord to establish the standard as a whole in our community, the standard increases. Because each and every one of us are allowing the Lord in our personal lives to raise the standard. And so if the Lord's raising the standard individually, then he's raising the standard corporately. And if the Lord's raising the standard individually, then when we come together corporately, that means the Lord has freedom to do more, because as a whole, the entire standard has gone up. That means the Lord can pour himself out in greater ways by the manifestation of his Holy Spirit, because everyone in the room comes into this place on Sundays believing for God to show up. And that's important. That's how we see God move and pour himself out. When we come into this place with such anticipation, with such excitement, when we look at our calendar and we can't figure out when to fit in a family vacation or things like that because we want to be together with the body of Christ in the house of the Lord, then we know God's really on the move. We know the Lord's really stirring our community as a whole into deeper and deeper things. And in the meantime, right, we continue to come together and believe for the Lord to speak and to move. That's why we have Friday night prayer in here every week, largely rain or shine, outside of super severe weather or other things. We come together as a community and pray and seek the Lord on a weekly basis. That's why over the next couple of weeks, I'm announced on Wednesday, I'm going to add 30 minutes of prayer before service on Wednesday nights, because I'm believing, my heart is stirred to get closer and closer to the Lord. And you don't have to do it here. You don't have to come in here on Friday or come early on Wednesday to be a part of prayer. You're welcome to, because there's something powerful in corporate unity. But my hope is that individually, in your private time, individually in your personal time, you're seeking the Lord for you and for your family according to what you believe the Lord wants to do in you and in all of us. Because it will be different. The Lord will do different things in our individual lives at times than what he's doing in our corporate community life. Because individually, the Lord may take you really deep and really personal and really intimate. But there may be times on a Sunday when the Lord doesn't do that because we have this massive influx of people that don't know the Lord in that way, and the Lord wants them to learn and grow and see their faith built up. And so there are times when we come in on Sundays and we, in our human nature, leave a little bit disappointed because, well, God didn't do, you know, what I thought he was going to do today, or the Lord didn't pour out in the way I thought he might pour out today, or I didn't see this, or I didn't see that. Let me challenge you. Don't make Sunday mornings just for you. Make Sunday mornings for the community. Right to where if you walk out and go in your mind, well, I already knew all those scriptures. I've heard that before. I'm good. Oh, but Lord, there was someone here today that needed that. Lord, there was someone here today that needed that, and Lord, speak to them. Or in worship, when we come across a song that you may not super enjoy the way you do other songs, you're like, Lord, this worship isn't for me, it's for you. And Lord, you enjoy this song because it's about you. And so I sing it, Lord, with all my heart. You know, and allowing that flow, allowing the Spirit to move in you and through you for the greater community. And when we see that, when the Lord's doing that, I'm telling you, we won't be able to stop the power and the presence of God. the testimonies of things that are happening in our community that will flow in and the lives being touched and changed, we'll see the tremendous nature of the heart of the Lord. And so as your pastor this morning, the Lord spoke to me about guarding our gates. And I want to challenge you as well to guard your gates, guard your eye gate, guard your ear gate, guard your mouth gate. That the things that are coming in and the things that are going out are honorable to the Lord. That you're not inundating yourself with the wrong stuff, but you're staying sensitive to the Lord. You're allowing Him to set boundaries and borders and parameters for what you entertain and what you do so that you can stay sensitive to His Spirit. You're the dwelling place of the Spirit of the living God. You're the dwelling place. The Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in you. When we all leave later, Holy Spirit ain't in this room. Whoever the last one is that left the building, Holy Spirit leaves with that person. He's not just sitting here at the front, like, waiting for us to come back next Wednesday. He's with every one of us when we exit this place. And because He's with us when we exit this place, He is with us in everything that we say. He's with us in everything that we listen to. He's with us in everything that we see. And so my challenge to you, sons and daughters of the Lord, is guard those things. Guard those things. Don't set anything before your eyes that would grieve the heart of the Lord. Don't allow anything to come into your ear that would grieve. Allow the Lord to raise the standard in our community as a whole so that as others are coming in, their lives can be touched and changed. As others are coming in, Sunday mornings aren't just about all of us that are here regularly and faithfully. It's about those that the Lord's drawing in. Worship is all about Him. Our Friday night prayer times, people are coming in with the joy of praying together because they enjoy praying alone. And that the Lord is like moving across all of these different fronts in our community. Matt, can you come back up to the keys for me? I just want to, I know we're a little early compared to what I normally do, but I don't care about time, so we're okay. Thank you, Neil. I'll take that. If I can have everyone stand with me this morning. I didn't get to my other message, so we'll probably carry it forward to next week because the Lord laid it on my heart to teach on prayer, and I think coming off of today, next week, teaching on prayer would be really, really great. Then after that, we're going to go into the book of Acts together. And I want to walk through with you some of the great, powerful outpourings of the Lord in the New Testament church and in the early believers' lives. And I also want to look at revivals throughout time and history as well and see things like the Hebrides and the Welsh outpouring and Azusa and different things like that where the Lord has come and poured Himself out in great measure. But this morning, I just want to pray over us, church family, as a whole. And I want to ask the Holy Spirit to increase your sensitivity. That He would be able to fine-tune you, like searching a radio dial, or fine-tune you, like getting to like that place where you have the greatest cell reception. You know, like you just, I want to pray this morning that the Lord will bring you to that place where you really allow Him to filter and lead and direct the inflow and the outflow. And so, Lord, I pray over our community this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray over myself as a part of this community. I pray over my kids. I pray over my wife and others who aren't here today that may be watching online or will see this later. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would hear from You and You would increase the tune of our sensitivity. You would increase, You would adjust the dials to bring us into perfect alignment with Jesus. that we, if we're carrying things we shouldn't, if we're struggling with things, we would be able to lay those things at Jesus' feet. We would be able to put those things on Jesus' shoulders, and we would yoke up with him and only carry the burdens he gives us. Only carry what he calls us to carry. And so, Lord, I pray over this community that as a whole, you would raise the temperature, raise the water level, raise and increase what you're doing in your spirit in our community today. We thank you, Lord, because we believe you are on the move. And Lord, we want to move with you. And so help us to draw close so that we're a readied people when the fire and the cloud move. We're a readied people when the fire falls and the water level rises. We're a readied people, sensitive to your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name.